and welcome to There's a Walk for That. My name is Harriet Thomas. I'm not a doctor or a fitness guru. I'm just someone who discovered one simple daily habit that changed everything. My mission now is to share what I discovered with people just like me. If you think stress, burnout, and musculoskeletal pain are just part of getting older, working hard, and holding everything together, then I'm here to tell you that they're not. So let's get on with the show. Welcome to this week's episode of There's a Walk for That. And today I'm having one of those conversations that I really love because I'm talking to an entrepreneur. And I'm always interested to speak to entrepreneurs because I think they always have such great stories. And I'm always also interested to see if and how entrepreneurs use walking as part of their business or personal life. Because of course, Steve Jobs, who was one of the 20th/21st century's most successful entrepreneurs and inventors, used walking as a part of his work life. You know, he built Apple Park as a big donut around a huge, beautiful park with paths. And that's where he had his walking meetings, and he believed his creativity came to him when he was walking. So I'm always interested to see how much that idea has kind of filtered down to other entrepreneurs. And of course, it's not a new idea because plenty of great thinkers, from Charles Darwin had his thinking path. Albert Einstein also credited walking as the place where he worked out all his formulas, etc. So, you know, it's got a massively long history, probably as long as humans have been on the planet. We have walked, and some people have discovered that connection between walking and creativity or problem solving. Today, the entrepreneur that I am interviewing is Linda Russell Whitaker, and she has a very interesting business, supporting people to do the thing which is meant to be the most terrifying endeavor that people have to face. It's up there. I think people apparently are more scared of doing this one thing than they are of dying. So, Linda, tell me, what is it that you do?
I love that because I've actually been known to use that in a classroom with people. Seinfeld has this wonderful sketch where he says exactly what you've just said, which would mean that at a funeral, most people would rather be in the coffin than delivering the eulogy. He does it. He's much happier than I am. But yes, I work primarily with women to speak in public more persuasively, with more impact, and hopefully enjoy it more and find it more relaxing.
And how did you get into that line of work?
It's been quite squiggly, I think they call it, these squiggly careers. And I like being called an entrepreneur. I'm not sure I see myself as an entrepreneur, but I have worked for myself for actually most of my life, whether as a freelancer or running my own company. Sometimes with other people. I suppose it became kind of organic out of a few things. I trained as a singer. I trained for most of the 90s. I was training privately with two soloists, one for years. So she was a dramatic soprano. And then after that, I worked with a baritone. And I absolutely loved working with a man, interestingly. It was being a soprano. It was very interesting to have a totally different voice type to mine. And then I did do a little bit of work with a jazz singer as well, because that was kind of more classical I was being trained in. So that's good because it loosens you up, as you know, Harriet. That's the kind of voice piece, I suppose. And I don't know, I had been working in digital media for a long time, and somehow it became less satisfying. It was a much bigger industry than when I started in it in the very early 90s. I just became fascinated by this idea of speaking public, probably because I was really scared of speaking in public myself, actually, or I sort of developed a phobia. I didn't used to be like that when I was younger, but as an adult, it became, I would say, borderline phobia. So I thought, okay, well, this is strange. And I think that often happens. People's passions come out of those
A
kind of,
challenge that, yeah. So why
actually,
do you think people are so scared of speaking in public?
I don't know. I think it's a combination. I think you're so on the spot when you're speaking in public. So it seems to me that there are two camps. There are some people who absolutely love it, and then there are people who absolutely hate it. But I do think the more you practice, the more you learn the techniques, the more relaxed you get, the more then you enjoy it. So I have spoken to a few clients and they've said, actually, they did enjoy it. I often ask them how they felt or did they enjoy a speech they did. And I think once you've your nerves settle, you can then start getting into the enjoyment aspect of it.
Sort of running up to this interview, I was thinking about public speaking and the nerves about public speaking and you know, having all these faces looking at you, and that can be a whole sort of traumatic situation, you know. And I was wondering, because quite often when I'm walking, I sing to myself or I talk out loud, and I love it because there's a huge space around you. No one's listening, actually. You're just kind of expressing yourself freely. And so I wondered whether you ever use that with your clients, because obviously when we walk, stress is reduced. I wondered whether that was something that you ever put in as one of your techniques with people you're working with, as an idea to like maybe go and say your speech outside as you're walking. I wonder what that would be like.
I have actually worked with people outside. I've worked with a few clients outside over the years. I've encouraged them to work outside because there's a difference when you're projecting your voice outside as well. And I think that there's an element also if you're discussing perhaps the topic or what that how they might want to construct something that they're delivering. It's quite nice to walk side by side with someone. That sort of eye contact can be a little unnerving, can't it?
Definitely.
So that's another kind of aspect to it then. But yes, it's and there I you know the ancient orators who I've studied, because that's the other aspect, the masters in rhetoric where I studied the ancient Greek orators. I mean some of the Romans as well, but I've got a particular passion for the Greek orators. And then, obviously this was outside.
Right.
And they were roving teachers as well, talking about the walking. These
Yeah.
traveling around teaching rhetoric. We're going back 2,500 years.
Yeah.
So, and that's a lot of what I teach. They're the ancient rhetorical tools applied to modern speeches, talks, presentations. I was reminded not long ago of Demosthenes, who is one of the great Attic orators. And was studied by people like Cicero and Quintilian, who wrote a textbook, and so he features in quite a lot of textbooks. And he went outside. He was doing all sorts of things to improve his speaking in public because he wasn't a natural public speaker. That's the sort of famous pebbles in the mouth thing. Kind of imagine putting pebbles in your mouth to exercise your.
Oh, really?
Your voice or the muscles or I mean this is I'm assuming it's true. It might not be true, but
Just thinking about breath control, you know, because that's something, especially in the modern world, that a lot of people, you know, they may not be breathing from their belly, so that makes it hard to get a good sound out. And then, of course, if they're nervous, that's even worse. But
Right.
when you walk, then you have to breathe properly. So that's quite a nice connection as
I
well.
like that. I like that.
I know that Frank Sinatra, well, apparently he used to expand his lung capacity by swimming underwater. So he would do lengths underwater to gradually expand his lung capacity. So there's a definite link between physical movement, of course, and the way you can express yourself through your voice, whether you're a singer or an orator or just making a speech. Or a teacher. I mean, you know, we use our voices so much, don't we? Obviously, speaking is a physical activity, but somehow speaking in public, I feel like we've very much made it a mental activity. Like we have to have our words written out, and it becomes very in your head. And I think that in general, in modern society, we've kind of miss the fact that actually movement is really, really crucial for having so many things work properly, including a relaxed voice and a strong lung capacity and breathing deeply and all of these things. So it seems like walking and public speaking wouldn't be connected, but actually, I feel like that there is a deep connection there.
Yeah, I love that. And also to your point about it's become very cerebral, I suppose I might use that word. I've met a few people recently who have talked to me about the fact that they can't actually work from a script because they find they get so much into their heads working from a script that they then are better extempore, ad lib. Because especially if you know your topic really well. And sometimes if you don't have a great internal mechanism for time, that can be tricky. But if you have a feel for it, you don't necessarily need it all written down. I mean, there are techniques of, we call them sometimes they're thin notes or detailed notes, or there could be a script, or it's literally ad lib, extempore. It's off the cuff. And some people are brilliant that way, and they're actually better. They would really just fall over if they had a script, which is interesting, isn't it?
Because there's almost too much to remember. You have
Yeah.
to remember every single tiny word. And then if you forget one and or one if, you're like, oh no, I've made a mistake. And but the audience don't know you've made a mistake, but in your head,
Yeah,
it's all
exactly.
there.
And that's, to your point about sort of it coming so much from the head. I mean, maybe this is much more about the body, isn't it? This is the somatic element. So, then we're back to kind of the connection with walking.
Right, exactly. So I was interested just to slightly backtrack. So it sounded like that you were saying, so do you work with your clients to actually work on the content of what they're going to say as well?
Yes, if they want to. It's very much up to them. And in fact, I love to write. So I can write a speech if somebody wants me to write their speech or their talk, or they can write it and I can have a look or a listen and say, I think you might be better off starting with that third paragraph. Or it could just be on delivery. So it's usually when I'm working on delivery, there will probably be elements of it that I will make a comment, I will edit, because you feel the flow then, don't you? It's a good idea actually, if you're doing it yourself, to read it out loud, literally read it out loud and record it on your phone.
Because another thing I'm thinking about with that notion of the rhythm of the piece that you're going to deliver is, again, if you're walking, you are moving in rhythm. So again, it's sort of, I can just see how it all sort of fits together. And if I have to, maybe I'm working on a script for an Instagram post, or it might be working on a script for a presentation, but I often do that outside. I often go outside and I just walk along and then I speak things out loud. Because sometimes I get great ideas. So then if I find something like, oh yeah, that sounded really good and it sounded natural, because it's just kind of organically coming out, from this walk somehow. And then I'll record it on my phone. And I always find there's a sort of breath of life in it, as opposed to something that I just come up with sitting down.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And it's actually, I think I might steal that. Interestingly, today was dictating something that I had an idea of. So I wasn't outside, but there's that element of freeing yourself to speak it and then seeing how it comes out on the page. That can also work well. But I like the idea of being outside.
If we have people listening who have public speaking either as part of their job, or it may be they have a wedding coming up, or maybe they're a student and they have seminars. I mean, do you think that might be a good tip to give them then? Just sort of go outside, take a nice walk around your park, let yourself just relax, free yourself up a bit, and just doodle, as it were, kind of vocally doodle over what you might say and see if something happens.
Yeah, doodle or noodle. We can noodle as well, can't we?
Noodle and doodle.
Musicians, we can noodle.
Doodle and doodle and noodle.
I like that also because I do believe when your body's relaxed, something else happens. So if I can relax my body, I notice sometimes, my shoulders start rising before, I don't know, perhaps even a sales call. It might not be that you're delivering a speech. It could be that you want to perhaps pipe up at a meeting. You're not speaking enough, you're not contributing enough. And it's important to be heard, especially as women, because we're so often sidelined or told that we're hogging the microphone when we're actually not. So I want more women to be heard. So I want them to speak up, whether it's at a meeting or, at a function or getting up there and talking about their passion or their business, or could be both, either. But yeah, I think being as relaxed as you can be in your body really helps hugely. Well, frees the voice hugely as well.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I'm just thinking about how grounded, I suppose, is the word you'd use. When I'm walking, I feel very grounded in myself. And what I found is I've really noticed it recently because I walk every day. I've really noticed that I can actually now, if somebody else tells me about their walk, I start getting the feelings as if I was on that walk. So that's now a trigger for me, like a positive mental trigger. So I think everyone could use that. I think if people were to walk every day outside and just experience that groundedness, you could take that into a meeting. And instead of going fluttery and like, oh my gosh, and everything's going jangly and your mind goes blank and it's just a nightmare. To be able to reach out and get that groundedness and that relaxed feeling and that creative feeling that you get when you're walking as an anchor,
Yeah, nice.
to have whether you're on your meeting or your sales call. Because I think the other thing that I certainly get from walking is that sense of perspective. It may be a project that I'm really, really passionate about, but all the same, when I go out to my local park, I get perspective. I can let go of that clinging to success. I can just kind of really let go because you see these massive trees or you hear the birds and you're like, there's this other whole thing that's massive, massive, massive,
Yeah, well, that's perspective, isn't it? I think that really kind of puts things into perspective. I think that's one of the things. Yeah, if I get overwrought with something and I go out for a walk, as you say, there's that grounding that happens, and you just see in the general scheme of things, it's not really that important. That's what it does for me anyway. And I also think that you're in a different headspace. It's like other things that I do, with hobbies. I mean, one of the things is sewing. You're using your brain, but you're using a different part of your brain. So that other angle or element is able to relax in a different way. And that, yeah, I think all of it's important. But in terms of walking, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm tricky because I'm a bit of a fair weather walker. That's the only difficulty I find. I know it's to do with clothing. Would the Norwegians say something?
We're going to go into a commercial break now, but on the other side of the commercial break, let's talk about what Norwegians say because it's very, very interesting. And I'd love to hear more about how you use walking or the role that walking plays in your life as a professional woman.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. My name is Harriet Thomas, and today I'm talking to Linda Russell-Whittaker, a fantastic entrepreneur who teaches women how to really find their voice and to speak with confidence on stage, on sales calls, in every situation in life. So that's such a valuable role that you're playing. And we've talked about how walking might actually be used if you're trying to hone your public speaking skills. But I'd love to talk to you about your attitude to walking, how you use walking. And before the break, you were saying you were a fair weather walker, and the listeners couldn't see, but I was like tutting. And you were talking about the Norwegian saying, which is, well, I won't say it in Norwegian, but there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. Tell me, what to you is good weather and what to you is bad weather when it comes to walking?
Well, good weather is probably just dry weather. I mean, and not windy, and probably not too hot either. You don't want to be boiling hot. High humidity is not great either. But I'm probably better in the heat than I am in the cold and the rain. I just don't really want to walk when it's very windy, very rainy and wet. Just doesn't appeal to me, so I tend to put off. Otherwise, I really like to walk every day, but if the weather's really awful, I'm like, I managed to make an excuse, which is not great.
I totally get that, and it's what most people do. So when I first started walking every day, which was back in 2022, it was because I had discovered that walking healed my sciatica. If I stop walking, it comes back, so I kind of keep walking. My sciatica had been so bad that I'd literally, you know, I would have to crawl on the floor on my hands and knees. It was devastatingly painful. And I sort of saw my future shrink. And I was like, all the things that I was hoping for in my later years, I was like, I'm just going to be a bedridden old lady. So I had a very strong push to walk every day once I discovered that that's the thing that helped. And I started in October. So obviously there were some beautiful October days, but often it was rainy. And I had the gear. I had my waterproof trousers. I had my waterproof boots. I had my waterproof coat. You know, I got very good at dressing for the rain. And what I discovered was that it looks worse from the inside than what it really is. Because when you're out in it, you can splash in the puddles and you see all these rivulets everywhere. And you hear this amazing kind of symphony of plip-plop, drip-drop going everywhere, and the clouds look amazing, and it's just, I love walking in the rain, so long as I've got my gear on. There's also lots of health benefits to walking in the rain. There's the smell of petrichor, which is the smell when the rain hits the dry earth. It's like a sort of aromatherapy, but it's got a very calming effect on the brain. I would definitely recommend that you try walking in the rain.
It's interesting because one of the places that I do quite like to walk when it's raining is the beach. And I live quite near the beach. It's very easy for me, certainly, to drive to a beach. It'd probably be very long walking there, but I can be within 10 to 12 minutes, I can be at a beach and I can walk. So that's, you know, that's one possibility, I suppose. I think the main thing is probably really decent footwear.
Yeah.
I think when you've ever had an injury, you know, I broke an ankle several years ago, and that literally was just crossing the street. So that was a bit scary. Oh. And then, you know, sometimes I have a little bit of a dicky left knee. So I can't walk for miles and miles and miles and miles, but I can still, you know, do a decent walk. And I actually love walking with friends. Walking is actually incredibly important to me. I was raised in London. I lived in London most of my life. I've lived abroad as well. I lived in Greece for a few years. I've lived in Venezuela. And in fact, one of the places I really didn't like being was Caracas, because you can't really walk in Caracas. It's not a city you can walk in. And London is the most fantastic walking city. And I was out every day, if not more than, more than once a day, walking a dog in London. So, I was in Islington for 10 years, opposite Highbury Fields, not very far from Clissold Park, and I've lived all over London. So I was more or less raised in Battersea Park. My mother used to take us all over. We used to walk across the bridge to Battersea Park and spend, so I've got lots of old photos of us all hanging out and me walking. When I was very, very first able to walk, off I was on a walk. It literally just came into my head then, just that memory. Lots of pictures of me off on my own, and my mother used to go and say, "Mark, go get Linda." So you'd have to come and get me. I was off on one of my walks. So clearly it's important to me, but I think I've just become a little bit too, lazy in that area. But I mean, I am out most days. I will go for a walk, but yeah, if I get too stuck in my computer doing work, or if the weather's really like filthy in my world, then I probably skip it. But I do really enjoy it. There's just something, I think it's just so good for the nervous system. I think that's probably the biggest thing. If I'm anxious, one of the best things is walking. I just find it incredibly relaxing.
I mean, I'm exactly the same. I tend to work in the morning and then I have like an hour and a half walk. I know I can go for that walk. I'll just let everything slide out of my head and then I know I'll come back and it's as if it's the start of a new day again. You know, I can start the next part of my work day totally fresh. But if I don't do that, I start getting very tense, you know, and I start resenting my work, and I start not being able to think really, not being able to really focus. And plus, I get a back, my back starts aching.
Yes,
So,
good signal, isn't it?
yeah.
I mean, I definitely move around quite a lot as well, so it's not, and I have a little bit of outside space, but sometimes it's nice. I mean, there's, speaking of the downs, and well, I'm based in Arundel now, and there's a couple of really lovely walks. So in fact, a friend of mine met me a few weeks ago, and we walked around Swanbourne Lake, which is very, very pretty, and it's just around the corner from me. I mean, it probably takes maybe about 10 minutes to walk there, but then it's this massive circular walk. And then, it's always nice to bump into people. I mean, depending on the time of day you go, I suppose, but often you'll meet other people on the walk. And yeah, so that's quite a satisfying walk without having to drive anywhere. I think the problem that I have with being here rather than when I was in London is that it's weird to kind of get into a car to go for a walk.
Totally.
I don't want to do that, and I think that's why I'm probably walking less here than I would in London or in a city. And I'm a bit of a city person, and also Arundel's very hilly. So if you decided that you wanted to walk up to, the castle around there, or kind of the tour, or the cricket club, or something like that, that's quite steep, and that's quite. I mean, it's lovely up there actually. So that's reminding me that I definitely need to go up that way. And then there's the end of my road. If you keep walking, 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 there, you suddenly come to there's a field of horses, and there's all sorts going on over there. It's lovely. That's only 10 or 15 minutes away. But yeah, if you want, normally I want a little bit more of a substantial walk. So it's a balance, isn't it? I like a good half an hour to 40 minutes, or maybe even up to an hour. Maybe not much more than that, partly because I'm busy, but and also if you have to drive somewhere and do it, that's sort of annoying. So yeah, it can take up too much time, but for me, walking is, well, it's a wonderful way to exercise. I've never been a runner, but I've always been a walker. Sometimes I'll just go out and I'll just go into I'm around the corner from Arundel Town, so I just it's a few minutes. I just walk into town, and then just but then you're just pottering, really. It's not quite the same as having a proper walk, but at least you're getting out.
No, I think a potter is actually really, really nice. I mean, I sometimes just have a potter. And I think this is my sort of philosophy about walking. We have this concept, you know, going for a walk. It's a sort of thing you do on a weekend, you know, you go for a walk. And which is great. You know, I love a long walk, you know, so I love to do that. But as you say, when you're working during a working day, you can't actually go for a 2-3 hour walk, most people, because you don't have the time in your working day. But you can go out for a quick 20 minutes, or As you say, you can potter through town, which again, it just means your brain can switch off. You can look at things in the shop windows. It's like a sort of mindfulness, and you're moving your body. Your nervous system is probably relaxing a little bit, and it needn't be a big palaver. I like to think of it as a practice to keep ourselves physically and mentally healthy very easily during the working day, because most of us are doing our work sitting down, but we're not built to sit, we're built to walk. So
I mean, the other thing I really like about the pottering is that you're interacting with people as well quite often, and I think if you're working from home on your own, that's really healthy to be able to go out. So aside from the solitary walks, which are lovely, well, sometimes I will bump into someone that I know, sometimes I don't know them. I had a lovely encounter a few weeks ago, met a woman and met her cat, who was absolutely beautiful, and took a picture of him. And he certainly knew he was beautiful as well.
We're going to take another break now, but hold that thought, because I really love that idea of going for a walk where you live or where you work in that community, and actually that being an opportunity to meet people who also live and work in that community. I think that's really important. So we're going to go to a break now and come back and talk more about that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome back to There's a Walk for That. I'm Harriet Thomas, and I'm speaking to Linda Russell-Whitaker. Linda runs a business called Brain Banks Presents, through which she trains women, getting in tune with their message and being able to deliver their message. So we've talked about the interesting connections between movement and talking in terms of the rhythm and the breath control, and how walking might actually be a good context in which to practice delivering your speech or even work on the content of your speech. And we've talked a little bit about how you like to walk and the nervous system reset. But you mentioned just before the break about how you like to potter in your kind of local high street and how you meet people. And I also think this is a really, really important role that walking plays, because I think when we're always in our cars, we're zooming so fast, we never talk to anyone, we never meet anyone, we don't have the opportunity, it's impossible. But when you walk, especially if you walk, for instance, down a street or a few streets quite often, you know, if it's your high street, then you get to know the shopkeepers, you get to know the other shoppers, or you just meet random strangers and have these little interactions that are like I always think they're like a little burst of energy. I always think they bring energy to the day and joy to the day. And so you were telling us about a lady that you met and her cat.
Yeah, Alexandra, her name is. I remember her name. But yeah, that was lovely because she She had a, I think they're called ragdolls, the beautiful cat that's got sort of Siamese colouring, but really this gorgeous fluffy boy he was. But yeah, as you say, this kind of, I love that sort of spark of joy, or I don't word it, but yes, it's quite uplifting. I enjoy the randomness of it.
I think it's really interesting. I think the idea of having a random encounter for a start is very interesting because so much of our lives is planned, isn't it? I think planning has become very embedded in how we do our lives now. People have their schedule for the day, but then you'll have your 3 month plan and your 5 year plan, and you're the, it's like plan, plan, plan. So to have these random encounters that are not at all planned, it's sort of freeing somehow. It's just, and as you said, if you are someone who's working from home by yourself, these little encounters can really make your day, can't they? And I think the content of the conversation is less important than this connection. And I think it's one of the things we miss from a world that is increasingly fast. I mean, you could literally live in your house, couldn't you? And have everything delivered to you and never leave. And that is called convenience. But the cost of that is actually what we need to do as human beings, which is to know the people in our communities and to be able to sort of recognize them on the street and say hello and have conversations about, the fact that Asda's got a special on crisps or, whatever it is. As I say, the content is not important. It's just that recognition almost.
It's also reminding me, back to your point about walking in the rain and, getting these particular scents and smells. I remember when I lived in Greece, I did not know this until quite recently, but I loved the sort of spring, kind of very early summer, where you get this release of the pine. And I just love that smell. And I only recently found out that it's actually incredibly good for your nervous system. This aroma, this scent that has that extra effect of relaxing you as well. So, the going outside, imagine if you had everything delivered to you and you never went out. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've been watching Silo, but it's a, drama on Apple TV Plus. It's based on a book, but this kind of this idea of being inside, you just never go outside. I feel very rich being able to grow even just herbs in my garden. And some of them are just gorgeous. And then I use them in salads. And I find it's very simple, it's very frugal, but it makes me feel rich, as you say. It's an interesting contrast, really. I think really, what we're talking about here is managing our mental health, isn't it? And walking is a wonderful way to lift your spirits and improve your mental health if you can do it. If you have the privilege of being somewhere where you can get out, or having the time to get out and have a walk. And maybe we will need to make the time, even if it's not for very long per day, just because it's so good for your mental health, never mind the physical aspect of it.
And even if you're looking at it from a totally economic standpoint, two of the biggest reasons for absenteeism are poor mental health and musculoskeletal problems. Both of those are very much to do with obviously high pressure work and being sedentary. Whereas I believe if we could change our culture somehow so that people had the opportunity to walk during their working day, as we've been discussing, just even 15, 20 minutes staggered through their day, maybe a couple of times through their day. And then if people think, oh, yeah, I could walk a little of the way home to de-stress before I get home, I would love to see our leaders take a lead.
And I think it's also about slowing down. This idea that we have to have more things, I mean, that doesn't make people happy, actually. That it's really been proven now.
When you were talking about, going to your high street and talking to people, that's the kind of feeling I got of a smaller community where you could feel part of it. It's not too big to get lost in.
Also, it's great for people to be heard, and perhaps some people who don't have the opportunity to speak to people when, you know, you're out and about the day, to actually listen to someone who perhaps hasn't had a chance to speak to somebody that day. What a gift.
I just love the fact that we've talked about your business, you know, training women to have their voice. And then that's actually mirrored in just everyone having their voice just within their local community, just being able to talk to someone, and how important that is for our mental health and our feeling of belonging.
Yeah, value.
And value, yeah. So thank you for such a fascinating discussion. And I love it because we've rambled. We've rambled through.
Oh, we have rambled. Yeah. Don't you love a ramble? Yeah.
I love a ramble. And I love a conversation that rambles as well, because, again, it's that idea of spontaneity, and, you know, you never quite know what's going to come next. But I think it's really fascinating that, you know, we've come down on this idea of the importance, actually, of being able to communicate with people. And so I would say to listeners, if you're not someone who potters along your high street, I would definitely recommend it. Try it. If you work from home, it's a really, really nice way to break up your day and just get some movement in the day and de-stress your mind and just, you know, let your mind think about something else and nurture it on something else. But also, you might find that you feel that little bit more connected to your community over time. Like everything with walking, nothing happens overnight. It's literally is step by step by step is how things happen with walking. These small habits over time can make the biggest difference, both in your life and perhaps in the life of someone else who you actually stop to talk to and you make their day. Thank you so much for it. It was a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a complete pleasure. And
if people would like to find out about your work, where will they find you?
They can find me on my website, brainbankpresents.co.uk. And I'm also on LinkedIn.
Do you work with people all over the place?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. And sometimes people like to work virtually and some people like to work in person. I also work in groups as well as one-to-one.
Great. So anyone interested in anything around speaking, public speaking, getting your voice heard, crafting your message, head over to Brainbanks.
Yeah, they can. Brainbank Presents. Yeah. And they can, you can book a discovery call with me as well.
Just perfect.
No obligation call.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Linda. Well, I've really enjoyed our conversation. And everyone listening, don't forget to take your little, I'm going to call it a community walk. Take your little community walk and take it every afternoon or something, and hopefully it will add something to your day. So thank you so much for listening to There's a Walk for That. I'll be back next week. Happy walking.